Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hello and welcome to Vintage Rock Pod, the ultimate classic rock podcast, with a new episode released every single day. I'm Paul Stevenson, thanks as always for hitting play. Now today's big interview show is another Side 2 episode. It could have been a full-on big show, but issues with my guest's battery meant it turned out to be a much quicker interview than anticipated.
I've got a little bit, my battery's a little bit down. I'm okay at the moment. Oh, I've got 11%, or just about held out.
My guest has been the keyboard player in the brilliant, legendary British hard rock group Uriah Heep for more than 30 years. I'm talking about Mr. Phil Lanzon. The band themselves, Uriah Heep, have been around since the late 60s. They were at the forefront of the British hard rock movement, along with the likes of Deep Purple and Black Sabbath. And you can hear loads of stories about the band and that early hard rock scene from the late 60s, early 70s here in Britain in my full-length interview with the band's founder and ever-present member, guitarist Mick Box. That's on episode 23 of Vintage Rock Pod. I definitely recommend you scroll all the way back and give that one a listen. Anyway, Uriah Heep are back with their 25th studio album release. It's called Chaos and Colour, and I caught up with Phil to chat, well, quickly, about his career, which has been a fascinating mix of things from glam rockers The Sweet to Uriah Heep to recording with cats, and yes, I do mean the furry felines, through to this brand new album. So, although it is brief, it is a fascinating look at his career. Quickly first, though, a big thank you to everyone engaging with Full Album February. Had a lot of great comments about this so far. If you haven't seen it, it's on social media, basically. I put up a new album on the social media channels every single day. It's nominated by one of you guys, though, a listener. And the idea is to unearth some hidden gems, some albums that have been forgotten about or not remembered or discarded over time. And basically, we listen to a new one every day, in the full order it's intended, and then we share our thoughts. I'm hoping to uncover these lost hidden gems. It's been a real mixed bag of styles, genres, and decades so far too. Now, one of the albums that elicited the biggest response was Big Country's The Buffalo Skinners. People seem to love that one and love the band as well. So, with the 30th anniversary of the album's release fast approaching, I messaged Big Country's Bruce Watson to set up an interview to talk about the record more in depth. And I'd love to put your questions to him too. Yes, you. So please let me know if you'd like to ask Bruce Watson, founding member and ever-present member of Big Country, a question. Message me on the socials. I'll be putting up posts, so just comment below those, or you can email me if that's easier for you, vintagerockpod@gmail.com, and I'll read out as many as I can. Don't be shy. Get in touch now with your questions, and I'll put them to Bruce. All the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or YouTube, or, as I said, email me vintagerockpod@gmail.com with your questions now. But back to today's big interview then. Please enjoy this chat with the brilliant Phil Lanzon from Uriah Heep. So thank you very much for joining us today then, Phil. Obviously, Uriah Heep have got a brand new album out. Very exciting news. Got to hear about all that. But quickly, a little bit about your career first. Just a couple of questions. Interestingly, you were a part of The Sweet. Now, how was that? How did that happen? And did you enjoy your time with the band?
Yeah, way back in 84, I got a call from somebody in 1984 saying Andy needed a keyboard player for an Australian tour. And I happened to be free at the time because Grand Prix had finished and I was looking for something, and it was good. It was coincidence. I went along and had a great time. We co-wrote some songs and we toured, big tours of Australia down there. It was wonderful. I had a great time. And then it sort of started to fold after about a year or two. And the Uriah Heep gig came up, and that was how I and when I joined them, 1986, I think it was.
Crikey, long time ago. So how did that come about then? How did you get the call from Uriah Heep?
It was the sound engineer at the time, and Bernie was involved, or had met Mick, and they were sort of having little chats, and things were going on, and that was working out quite well. And then he needed a keyboard player, and Bernie and Howard, the sound guy, recommended me, and that's how that happened.
Fantastic. And obviously you've been working with Mick now for, well, 30-odd years, and talk to us about him then. I've interviewed him. He's a legend. The fans know him as a legend. He's always bright and bubbly and friendly. I mean, what is he like as a person?
Oh, well, he's a person.
Hope so.
No, we have a great working relationship. So, and that's really why we've hung around this long. Otherwise, it wouldn't have lasted this long. I don't think. Or, you know, we would have to have worked together, or be able to work together, for it to continue. And it, luckily, it's worked that way.
Absolutely. And what's he like in the studio? What's he like to create music with?
Same as any musician, really. I mean, one that you can work with, you know. Marvellous.
That's good to hear. It's good to hear. And just quickly, something else as well. I think it was 1987, I think it was, when you went over to the Soviet Union. You were the first Western band to play over there. What were your memories of that? Because I think you did 10 dates, didn't you, in a row?
Well, we did 10 dates in the Moscow arena, the Olimpisky. And it was like being on the moon, basically. You know, it was just out of this world. It was somewhere where we'd never been before. It was midwinter, and it was in the Olympic Stadium. And I think the sad thing about it really is the fact that the audience wasn't allowed within 30 meters of the stage. So you can imagine that distance. Communicating was really hard, but we did manage it, because the guys used to go out during one of the solos and run across no man's land to the first row of soldiers with their weapons, and get that close to, you know, that was just a totally different experience.
And what was it like being greeted as a Western band over there?
Well, it's incredible. I mean, every night when I started July morning, for example, you know, the place would just erupt. And I wasn't used to that. I mean, I was expecting something different, but I wasn't used to, you know, I looked up and went, oh, hang on a minute, you know, this is crazy. But it was like that every night, obviously. And, we did, we had press conferences out there, and we tried to get the 30 metres closed up, and they wouldn't have it. The KGB were pretty stiff and all that sort of thing, but that was in those days. But we did manage to get, with all our pushing and convincing, we did manage to get one show where they were all allowed to come down to the front. It was a matinee show, just for once. All the rest of the nights had to be normal, but this one time they allowed the kids to come down. It was a seriously very moving event, you know, really.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you weren't offered to be paid in any bizarre way. I spoke to Tony Martin from Black Sabbath, who said they were offered payment in tractors, and they turned it down. They wanted the money.
Well, I would have loved a tractor, to be honest. I've got room for one or two in my backyard.
Fantastic. And on the you obviously got a farm there, and on the animals topic, is it true that you recorded an album with cat noises back in the 90s? Is that true?
I did, yes. It was me and a friend of mine, another keyboard player, Tiller, Ian Marshall's his name, and a very good keyboard player, very innovative. And it came up from a very small record company who made the suggestion. And of course, we laughed and said, well, hang on a minute, what are you on about here? But there had been, at the time, I don't know who it was, somebody had put out a joke song cover using cats before this, and I don't know what it was. I can't even remember to this day. Don't suppose it matters. It's not that important. But we thought, well, it's a novelty. Give us something to do for a couple of weeks. So we did. But it was a lot of fun.
Meow, that's what I call music.
People will laugh when they hear Bohemian Rhapsody.
Absolutely. Check it out, definitely. And from the ridiculous to the sublime then, Uriah Heep, her exciting fans again, your new album, Chaos and Colour, it's out now. It's the band's 25th studio album. The artwork looks fantastic. The music and the mix is tremendous. Silly question, but I bet you're delighted with how it's turned out.
Well, actually, I am. I said to many other interviewers, but it's, I think Mick's a bit like me. We once we've recorded an album, it's mastered and finished, we don't listen to it again for some time, and that's exactly what we've done. So in recent weeks, I've actually been picking up the odd track and just as a reference point. And what I've heard, is I'm completely impressed by. So yes, is the answer. Great album.
The album title itself, it's not a song title, is it? Where did the name come from?
I don't know. I think Mick came up with it. Oh, he concocted it out somewhere, and that's it. Like Shakespeare says, what's in a name?
What's in a name? Chaos and colour indeed. Now tell us about the recording process then. Was this, we obviously clearly no strangers to the studio, was this an in-person thing or was there files flying around the internet?
Totally flying around the internet because it was COVID.
Ah, okay.
So everything that we wrote was done on screen, which was the first time. But, you know, the result was good. So, you know, regardless of the process, it turned out great.
Absolutely. And how did you find that then, working remotely rather than in each other's company?
It was odd to start with, but it quickly came together because it was also a lot more instant in some ways, because obviously you're on screen, you send out a message, it's instantly got, another message comes back, it's instantly got, and you rectify there. Whereas if we're in the room together, you might ponder for half an hour.
Yeah.
Look out the window at the sun, you know, look at the sea and all that, you know.
So this album's obviously out now. It's available in loads of different versions as well. There's a black vinyl, a lime vinyl, a turquoise vinyl, deluxe CD, hardcover book and chaos colour patch, and obviously the digital and streaming as well. So every sort of way you could think of, you can get all of it, can't you?
Well, I'd like to order the turquoise one myself. Put one aside for me, will you?
I'll see what I can do, Phil. I'll see what I can do. So what's the plans for the rest of 2023 then?
Well, we got a quiet moment of a few months now, as there's certain territories we couldn't work because of the war. So we've got festivals planned and probably a tour from September on to promote the album. So it's all promoting the album by radio interview and TV and appearances all through the year.
Fantastic stuff. Well, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, Phil, and I hope you can go and charge your phone now.
I'll have to. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
And a big thanks to Mr. Phil Lansen there. Interesting fella, I'm sure you'll agree. Chaos and Colour is Uriah Heep's new album, their 25th studio album across a half-century-long career. It's out now. It's a big rocking album which bursts out the blocks with the opening track Save Me Tonight, which is excellent. Now, if you like your classic rock, then definitely do check it out and get your hands on a copy now. Even the cover looks fantastic. Now, a big thank you for listening to today's big interview show. I've got so many other great interviews already recorded and lined up for you over the coming weeks that I'm excited for you to hear, which of course includes a chat with big country guitarist Bruce Watson. So get your questions in for him now. Email me vintagerockpod@gmail.com or message me on the social media channels Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Just search for Vintage Rock Pod. So huge thanks for listening today and for your support on social media and everywhere else. The podcast is growing in leaps and bounds, and the YouTube channel as well is just growing more than I ever expected. Year on year stats are through the roof, and it is amazing to see this community growing. Thank you so much. So all that's left to say is, if you know someone that doesn't like classic rock, then just tell them, well, my music is better than yours. Take care.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.